You're a wizard, Harry. Potter Book Club for the Sorcerer's Stone with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss the Sorcerer's Stone Chapter 10, Halloween. We find out what's the deal with Quidditch, and the battle for the Quizzitch Cup continues. Welcome back to our 10th installment of the Quizzitch Cup. It is tight. It's a tight. We're well matched. It's going. It's very exciting. I have no idea who's going to win the Quizzitch Cup.
No.
Who can say? Who wants to go first? This is our trivia.
Vijaya, why don't you go first? Oh yeah, this is our trivia. We're super smart.
All right. What human invention does Hagrid ridicule as he and Harry are walking through the non-magic town on their way to Diagon Alley?
Ding, ding, ding?
Yes.
Parking meters?
Yes!
Oh my god, you did remember. That's so good. I'm really impressed.
Thank you. That one wasn't in my book. I just remembered it.
I thought you were really dumb, but you're not.
I'm not that dumb. I'm not as dumb as I look. It's a fun story about me. Okay. I've got mine.
Okay.
From which vault did Hagrid take something from at Gringotts? That was an awkward sound.
That was, there are two prepositions right next to each other. Oh my gosh, I have to remember the actual number of the vault. Holy crap.
Is that a bad question?
Well, basically numbers are really bad for my brain.
Yeah.
Should I not do that one? That one's stupid.
I'm mad.
Vijaya.
Unless you're going to change the question.
Well, I'll see if you get it right or
not. It's not right. Vault 460.
I was going to say 78, but that doesn't seem correct either.
I also want to say Vault 420, but that's not right.
That's where you keep the gillyweed, friend.
It's like 700 and something.
I don't know.
Okay, is this one better? What are the first names of Crab and Goyle?
I know crabs. No, well, I know crabs. But
what is crab's Vincent, first name?
Vincent Crab.
It is Vincent. And then,
that is correct.
Hold on, wait a second. Goyle.
Do we ever know Goyles?
It's a very alliterative. I'll tell you that.
Gregory.
You each get 0.5.
I was like, it's Gregory. But for some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was Kyle, which I knew was not right. But I was Kyle like, Goyle. That would be great.
The evil guy, Kyle. What's up, evil Kyle?
You want to go, Sarah?
Yes. What color are the wings of the flying key that opens the door to the chess room at the end of the first book? Yes.
Gold?
No.
Damn it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Silver?
They're bright blue.
Ah, blue. Really?
Okay, wait. Do we want to do a follow-up question that's easier?
Sure.
No.
No.
Okay.
Okay, yes.
It also has to do with color, because I apparently have a fixation. What
is this
color?
A whole other question that you could use next week?
I could. Yeah, I could use this one next week. Yeah, well, I don't know. Whatever. You try to ask really dumb questions, so I'm not going to make you a nice one.
Is that all of us?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Great showing this week, everyone. Michael is still in the lead with 7.5 points. Sarah's got 6, and Bajaya has 5.5.
I'm coming for you guys.
I'm starting to, like, pick out places in my apartment where I can put the cup. It's maybe above the mantle or something.
You're gonna go down. Down, down.
You're going down.
You're going down, mate.
All right, well, we'll see you next week, mate.
Chapter 10, Halloween. Or as I say, Halloween in Britain. So basically what happened in the last chapter was obviously the whole Midnight Duel thing, and like Malfoy tried to set them up and tried to make them basically get in trouble by going out after dark and getting caught by a teacher. And so then the next morning, obviously they didn't get caught. They just fled and they saw that three-headed dog. So they're at the breakfast the next morning in the dining hall and the great hall. And Malfoy sees Harry and Ron is like super pissed because they didn't get in trouble. So Harry's thinking about whatever he saw, you know, that dog guarding. And he decides that if you have like a three-headed dog guarding it, it has to be either like super valuable or really, really dangerous. So as he's thinking this, all the owls come in for mail and they drop off this package in front of Harry, and it's long and thin. And
what is it?
He's like, what is this thing? He's like, oh, it's going to be an easel. And no, he doesn't say that. But he gets a note right after that before he even tears into the package. And then it's like, yo, Harry, this is McGonagall. Don't open the package. It's totally a broomstick. Which kind of defeats the whole fun of like unwrapping something, but whatever.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah. So he's like, well, it's a good thing I read this first. And so then they're walking back and they like run into Malfoy and they're like, yo, Malfoy, we got this broom. And he's really mad. He's like, you're not supposed to have a broom. And Flitwick's like, oh, it's okay. And Malfoy's even more angry. So they think that they've gotten even with him, which I don't know if it equates, but whatever. So anyway, so he has this new broomstick and they bring it out and it's a Nimbus 2000.
What?
Which is like, yeah, the fastest model yet.
How much does that even cost?
Probably 2,000 galleons. Probably not. Because what a wand is like 34 galleons. How many inches more is like a broomstick? So just
multiply.
Wasn't
the wand like 7?
The wand was like 7. What, was it 7 galleons?
I think so, maybe. Because we were all like, what? That's dirt cheap. Ollivander didn't account for inflation.
So then like maybe if you like multiply that by 6, because like it takes 6 wands to make a broom, like in length.
What about thickness?
It's what about the same thing.
What about girth? Oh,
well, this is not that kind of podcast. Keep your filth to yourself.
We're not talking about filth. We're talking about wands and broomsticks. Come on, Michael. Get your head out of the gutter.
So let's say that it's, okay, 5 wands. So it's like 35 galleons, right?
I think it's more than
that. Well, it depends on the make.
I think it, yeah.
I mean, you could... Like, every twig coming out of the back could be, like, a wand.
Okay, so then, okay, so, like, it's 5, so it's 35. But, okay, say that it's, like...
You have to, like, add for technology, because, you know, the clean sweeps are probably, like, 35 to 40, because, you know, the Weasleys can't afford it. But.
Right. Okay, so maybe 120, 130, 150, like a snitch, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sure. We need to work on pricing. So anyway, so he's really mad and blah, blah, blah. And so Harry reads this note and McGonagall's like, yo, you should go to the Quidditch pitch and you'll meet Oliver Wood, who's the captain, and he'll give you some Quidditch lessons. And so Harry goes out at night into the dark, which, I mean, we can talk about questions, but it's kind of weird that they let their kids like just wander around at night when it's like super dangerous all the time there. But anyway, so he goes out there and Oliver Wood is there, and he teaches Harry all of the rules of Quidditch. And I don't know if we should go over that now.
Sure.
Or if we should wait till new info. Okay.
I don't know.
No, we can talk about Quidditch right now.
Well, let's talk about Quidditch.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about Quidditch. So basically, the whole thing with Quidditch is that there are 7 players. Of those 7 players, there are 3 chasers. And chasers try and score on the other team's goals. And goalposts, by the way, look kind of like giant bubble wands. And there are 3 of those. So the 3 chasers try and take quaffles, which are these balls that are kind of soccer ball sized and red. And they try and score them through the hoops.
And they pointlessly score them through the hoops.
Pointlessly. There's no reason that they are doing this.
They can just
it is an
fly
exercise
around.
In futility. And they get 10 meaningless points for each one that they put through the hoop.
Wasn't there one match where...
There was a match that lasted 3 months. And I imagine that it probably didn't matter that they caught the snitch and got more points. But we're getting ahead of ourselves right now. We can talk about this after. Because one of my questions has to do with the whole Quidditch scoring system, which is messed
gotcha.
Up. So 3 chasers. There's one keeper who's basically the goalie, so they try and keep the other team from scoring on their goals. There are two beaters, and the job of the beaters is to keep off the bludgers. Now, bludgers are these balls. There are two balls, and they're black, slightly smaller than a quaffle, and they basically just are hell on wheels and trying to knock people off their brooms, injure them, hurt people. So the beaters try and keep them from injuring their teammates. And on Gryffindor, the Weasley twins are the beaters. And then there's one seeker, and that is Harry. And he has to find the golden snitch. And the golden snitch is the smallest of the balls in this whole game. It's about the size of a walnut. It's gold, has silver wings, and it kind of just flits around and flies around everywhere. And if you catch it, it not only gives you 150 points, but it also ends the game. So unless your team can score 150 points before the other team catches the snitch and they don't score anything, you have lost. So it seems kind of meaningless, but that's just the way it is. So yeah, so he does this, but of course he doesn't practice with the snitch because they're worried about losing it because they're notorious for just going MIA. So they just use golf balls. Harry's very excited. Wood tells me he's a natural. The next day, they're in a charms class with Flitwick, and we have the infamous swish and flick.
Swish and flick.
And Wingardium Leviosa. And there's something about some guy who accidentally makes a buffalo go on his chest, and I'm not exactly sure of that joke, but it seems weird. I don't know. These, like, don't say the S's instead of the F's because then you have a buffalo. And I was like, what is a...
Right. What
I was like,
but then,
what's a bussalo?
Bussalo.
That's what I was wondering. I was
maybe that was a spell. I don't know.
That sounds untoward. That sounds not good. I like a bussalo, please. No. So they're practicing that. And Hermione, of course, is the only person in class who gets it. Seamus only manages to set his feather on fire. And Ron, of course, who is paired with Hermione, is very mad that she gets it and he doesn't. So as they're leaving the class, Ron kind of turns to Harry and is like, man, no wonder no one can put up with her. She's a nightmare. And Hermione overhears, which is terrible. Aww. And she's very sad. And she runs off and she's not in any classes. And Parvati Patel says that she's crying in a bathroom. And it's very sad. So anyway, they apparently aren't too bothered because they go to the Halloween feast and there's bats flying everywhere and pumpkin baked goods. And it's great. Until Quirrell comes in and shouts something that every single blogger who's ever been on any thread has ever heard. And that is,
Troll in the dungeon!
And passes out. And so obviously all the students are sort of evacuated. Harry and Ron are walking and then they realize that, oh no, Hermione doesn't know that there's a troll. We have to find her and tell her that there's a troll. Because we can't, of course, tell our superiors who would be able to get her.
That'd be too easy.
And handle it responsibly. So they sneak off. And as they're sneaking off, Harry sees Snape actually head toward the third floor, which is a little sketch.
What is Snape doing on the third floor?
Trying to steal that stuff.
So as they're walking, they smell this horrible smell and quickly realize it's a troll. And they're like, you know what? We need to trap this guy because they see him. So they're like, he's in a room. They shut the door and they lock the key. And then they realize it's the girls' room, which is where Hermione was crying. So they're like, oh no, we've just trapped Hermione in with the troll. And so they, of course, go in and have to rescue her. And my favorite quote ever happens in this chapter. And I think it's my favorite quote because it's like the most quintessentially Harry Potter description that I've ever come across in any of the books. And it is, Harry then did something that was both very brave and very stupid, which I think just describes every single action that Harry Potter ever does, which is that he tries to take out the troll, he shoves a wand up his nose, it gets bogeys on his wand. Ew. Ron uses the very convenient spell that he just learned, Wingardium Leviosa, and knocks the troll out with his own club. Hermione, who's been cowering in the corner, is grateful, but then McGonagall and Snape show up and they're like, you're in super big trouble. And Hermione says, oh, wait a second, it was my fault. I thought I could take on this troll. And she's obviously lying, but she's super grateful she's not dead. And Ron's like, what? She just lied for us? That's crazy. And so McGonagall shoots all of them the look of shame, so we can put that on our McGonagall look of shame count because she really is angry at them. And Hermione loses 5 points for Gryffindor.
Oh my gosh.
Both Ron and Harry earn points, 5 points each. So it comes out to not a wash, 5 points, positive 5 points for Gryffindor. And none of them really got in that big of a trouble, which I really think they probably should have, but that's beside the point. And then from then on, Hermione is their super official friend.
Because you can't fight a mountain troll without becoming friends.
That's apparently how the saying goes.
One of the truths in life.
Can we talk about how in the movie they Harry gets a parcel that's shaped like a broomstick and they're all like, what is it? What is it? Open it. What is it?
I don't know what this is.
I mean, their first years, they're pretty dumb still.
That's true. They haven't learned anything yet.
It's not called
you don't
Hogwarts
know, Bishayet.
School of Special
Education. Oh, no. It could be any number of things. It could be a hockey stick.
Well, it had like a broom tail and everything, like a broomstick with a broom tail.
It could have been a shotgun like Uncle Vernon had.
Yeah, it could have been a shotgun.
That was also a long, thin parcel.
It could have been a British toy doll. I don't know what they play with
definitely
there.
Definitely the way it was described in the book, it could have been maybe a part, like a shotgun or a hockey stick. But in the movie, though, it was a broomstick.
Yeah, it was a little heavy hand in the movie. I still think in you know, we need a really long, thin, I don't know. What would you assume is in a really long, thin package?
A really big wand.
Yes, a very big wand.
If you know what I mean. I think it's like one of those maps you get in like junior high that you pull down and like Russia's called the Soviet Union, you know? That's what I assume.
Could be that. Could be just a poster of any kind.
It could just be a poster.
It's a map of Oregon.
It could be,
Sorry, I was trying to make a topical joke.
How is Oregon topical? Oh, wait, topical? I feel like that's a map joke.
Trying to take over the wildlife refuge there because you support the Constitution and your patriots.
Oh, wait, guys, quick side note. Donald Trump is in Burlington tonight.
Did you go?
No, apparently, so the tickets were free, and apparently tons of people bought them with the intention of not going.
So I like we'll the people in Burlington. Goes.
I'm glad we're covering all these.
Sorry.
These current topics current, of the world. We know for a fact that this episode has to come out at least 10 weeks from now if we were to finish everything tonight.
By the way, topical, I feel like, is a map joke. Like topographic.
Topographical.
By topical, I mean, you remember that standoff in Oregon and then it turned
like
out that
2 months, like 4 months ago?
We are now ruled by those overlords. They're now our president. So, yeah, that happened.
What are those, like, fighting sticks? Those long fighting sticks that, like, the Ninja Turtles use?
Nunchucks?
Like a bow staff or a quarter staff?
Nunchucks? Yes. I don't know.
That is what would be in a long thin
That was Donatello's, maybe? Right?
How different would that be if Harry Potter got a bow staff? You're like, I'm ignoring that question.
Please keep going with
it. It would have been very, you know, many wizards. Gandalf, didn't he have like a long staff?
He did. Remember when Grandma Wormtongue was like, I told you to take the wizard's staff.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, could be just like that. He might have gone Gandalf's staff. We learned this chapter, we learned about Quidditch. All the rules. We learned that, like, stands, so the Quidditch field kind of looks like a field, but they're, like, stands way above in the air, and, you know, it's kind of...
Sarah.
Cool. Yeah.
I feel like this Quidditch stuff is so crazy that we could do a whole segment called What's the Deal with Quidditch?
We definitely could.
Do you want to do that, like, now?
Let's totally do it.
Okay.
Let's just do it.
Well, then let's play some What's the Deal intro music, and then we'll be talking, we'll be in the next segment.
I'm just singing the Sanford and Sons theme song, but it seems appropriate.
What's the deal with Quidditch?
Hey, Sarah, what's the deal with Quidditch?
I don't know. It seems kind of whack. And here's why. 150 points for one little thing? Like, how long do you have to play? Okay, so think about, like, this in terms of football. You get, like, 7 points if you get, like, the field goal after a touchdown. And those only, like, the max scores of those games are in, like, the 40s and 50s. And they take so long. How long would you have to play to get over 150 and hope that the other team doesn't score in order to get...
I think there was a game... in one of the books where I think Gryffindor was playing Slytherin. I can't remember which book it was.
No, it was at the... Didn't they talk about it at the World Cup? where, like, Ireland...
Maybe. I can't remember. I do remember it just being one of the things that they keep... I thought it was Harry that kept being like, oh, I can't... Yeah, it was Harry, because he did see the snitch, and he pretended to see it somewhere else, so he darted the other way, so Malfoy chased him, because the Malfoy...
That was... Okay, so one of the things that I think is a thing is that if you... If there's, like, point spreads. So, like, if you beat the other team by however many points, I think they had to beat Slytherin by, like, 40 points or something.
Oh, okay.
So it's not, it's not like win versus
to get the loses. To get the house cup.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
But that also feels kind of lame, like, wins. I mean, sure. I guess, so is it, like, how many times you catch a snitch? Do you have an ERA, sort of, or some sort of batting average?
They must have wizard statistics. And there must be some sort of set house points that you get, because Harry was like, if we win this game against Slytherin, we'll move into second place. So it's like he knew beforehand.
But it could be just, like, Slytherin is 2-1, and we're 2-1, so if we win, then we move ahead.
But wasn't it in the House Cup?
Yeah,
maybe. That they were moving into second place of?
Yeah. I definitely remember, Harry was like, oh, we need to be up by this many points before I catch the snitch, otherwise I catch the snitch, we win, but then we lose the House Cup. So they have to keep
track. And, like, how many games per season do they have? That seems kind of whack, too. That's like...
I think they only play each other. Weekend. I think they only play each other once.
Right, they only play each other.
And then it just depends on, like, if Gryffindor beats Slytherin, but then Ravenclaw loses to Slytherin, and Ravenclaw beats Gryffindor. That's like a thing.
Okay, so everybody plays each other once, and then it kind of moves to the finals phase.
I think they probably just go by
whoever had the most points wins the whole thing if, like, they're tied or something.
So you only play three times?
No,
it can't be.
Per year? I'm pretty sure you only play three times per year.
Oh, like, that each team plays three times. But that's the same thing with, like...
That's a lot of practice for three times a year.
It is, but there's a lot on the line. Because they have to be the best.
Are you sure it's only three times per year?
Pretty sure.
But could you imagine, like, going from, like, Hogwarts League to the pros and having to play a million teams? Like, that seems like that would not be a good adjustment.
But that would be a good adjustment. Like, not maybe for the games, but the practice that they do is probably going to be the same. Because Oliver Wood drives them hard. I'm saying.
Who would want to be anything but a seeker?
There's a lot of pressure on a seeker, though.
Yeah, and they get hurt all the time. But man, what you're doing is so futile if you're not catching the snitch.
So wait, are you implying that you would want to be a seeker? You wouldn't want to be a seeker.
Well, I mean, they're the one who's doing all the cool stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
But if you're a chaser, there are three chasers, right?
I have almost... Well, actually, I wouldn't be good at Quidditch because I have almost zero hand-eye coordination. But if I had to be a position...
You'd be a beater.
I'd be a beater. That's actually what I was going to say. Because, like, I feel like I would rather take on a sort of, like, defensive role where, like, I'm not responsible for scoring points. Like, I definitely wouldn't want to be a keeper. That's kind of thankless.
Yeah, I would not want to be a keeper.
And, like, it's hard enough to guard one goal, let alone three. And chasers, that's also futile and worthless. So, like, if I can just hit stuff, that seems kind of cool.
Really, right? Just the sneaker is the glory role. Am I right?
The Gryffindor.
How would fantasy Quidditch leagues work?
I mean, there would be. I'm sure they could. Sports people can find statistics for anything. Okay, but hear me out. I'm gonna make something up right now.
Okay.
This is how I think it all went down. So originally, Quidditch was just the two seekers, and whoever caught the snitch first would win, and that was the whole game.
Pretty medieval. That sounds good.
Right, but so everyone was like, they're watching it, and they're like, "Well, shit, nothing happens
for like forever.
Nothing happens forever." And then they're like, "Can we just have some people running around with a ball that we could watch while we're waiting for the snitch thing to happen?"
And then a couple more balls.
Yeah, and then they just kept adding balls, and. I feel like that's why it is so weird and pointless.
I you know what? I support this theory because it kind of sounds like it. I imagine that people are like, you know what? This sport needs more balls.
Well, maybe they were like, first they were like, we should make it harder. Well, let's just add the blood. And then the bludgers are just flying around by themselves. And so the seekers are constantly dying. They're like, well, that's too hard. They're going to get, they're getting killed all the time. We'll add in these beaters.
They added the beaters. Okay.
And then they were probably like, we're really also bored with all the just flying around and the deaths. So can we have something in between? Like other people scoring things that doesn't mean anything.
I feel like it's kind of like in an icecapade show where you have the people who are the actual talented people doing quadruple axels, but they can't keep doing those all the time. So they have the random people who are like just skating around doing funny sort of weird gestury things where they're like throwing stuff at the audience and entertaining them for that's actually has no point because they have no real talent. But they're kind of there entertaining the audience, and that's what the rest of the players are, too.
I've never been to an ice capade show.
Well, Sarah saw Snow White on ice, Aladdin on ice, and Champions on ice.
Girl.
Wow, Sarah's seen a lot of things.
I saw Michelle Kwan's gay guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Topical reference.
What? We recorded this in, like, 1996.
We recorded this in 1996.
we recorded this when the books came out. We just waited to release them until now.
Am I right?
Yeah, Quidditch is a weird game.
In terms of teams, do we know how many actual professional teams there are?
Well, I mean, it seems to be pretty closely related to soccer in that, or football or whatever, in that, like, you know.
Like Premier League.
They have the World Cup.
Right, and so they have... They have the Chudley Cannons, the Hollyhead Harpies, and things like that. But then they also have Ireland. And so, you can play for your country's team.
So, do you think they have, like, the equivalent of, like, Premier League and...
Premier League?
That's where the Chudley Cannons come in, I think.
But Chudley Cannons are...
But then the rest of really the... Poorly. I can't remember the rest of the leagues, like, the Spanish League and the...
Real Madrid.
This might not be our strong suit. This conversation.
I know all about the Premier League.
Okay, let's hear all about it.
Who's your team, though?
Liverpool.
Oh, well, get out of here. We're no longer friends. This podcast is over. You do walk alone, ma'am.
Anyway, I still think it's kind of whack. I agree with your theory that it probably evolved from two bored people looking for snitches together.
Looking for snitches.
Okay, how does the snitch...
Snitches get stitches. Oh, in the movie...
Do you think the snitch is sentient? I know we've talked about the sorting hat being sentient versus not being sentient, but the snitch, how does it know to hide?
Right. How does it know, like... And some of them clearly are just bad at it because sometimes it takes 3 months
if you want to get it that way.
Well, I mean, you know, the snitch must have in its little snitchy mind, like, what would make entertaining... Quidditch match, right? Like, they wait just long enough and then they pop up and like, haha, and then they try to get away.
Does it have like a range? Because if you can't see it for months and months at a time, like,
also, where did it go? What does it do? You know, when in the movie it just like kind of hovers and hovers and then it just kind of disappears?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does it have its own invisibility thing that it can just go out? Or does it just,
or is it
like,
just super fast?
Yeah, vibrate really fast that it kind of disappears. Or flies really fast.
How do snitch work?
Yeah. J.K. Rowling, please write this article. How do
snitch
work?
Lilo and Snitch.
I mean, bludgers are semi-sentient as well, right? I mean, they're trying to just murder people.
Yeah. Those make more sense to me as sort of, like... Well, magnetized almost for people. Do you know what I mean?
I think they just like go towards. I don't think they're sentient.
Like heat-seeking missiles.
They just go towards that things there are hit towards, right?
Well, yeah, but they go after people though, for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking like toward heat-seeking missiles sort of thing.
Right. I thought they didn't go after people. Like they only went the direction they were hit because that's why it was so weird when they kept changing directions. To go towards Harry, the second one.
That's true. When
I think
they're the first one.
I think they're just supposed to go after who's closest to them, but then they were peeling off to go after Harry, even though there are other people they should have been going after, kind of thing.
Right.
I thought that was the whole point of like hitting them are beating them. So the beaters would go to the bludgers and just, like, hit them towards the person that they wanted it to hit.
Right. And if they got it close enough to that person, then it would start going after that person.
I didn't know that it actually followed them. I thought maybe, like, they would, like, go towards them. And then, if they zoomed off, then they would just keep going. I didn't know it would be like a heat-seeking missile.
Well, they definitely turn around, and because it's not like they're playing tennis between the beaters.
Or are they?
Man, we should. You know what? Let's go to a Quidditch match and find out for real.
Okay, guys, let's go.
There is an article on Pottermore that was, I think it got out today, because I looked at Pottermore earlier today and it was not on the main website. 6 reasons why Quidditch is bad for Harry's health.
Oh, no.
It just lists a bunch of stuff, the injuries that he has suffered.
Oh, man.
But it's kind of spoilers, you know, over the rest of the book, we won't talk about it. But it's there if y'all want to go.
No spoilers.
And the illustrations are also very good.
Is there anything else we want to talk about?
I feel like we're pretty good. I don't know. I just think Quidditch is... scoring system is off and needs to be readjusted for current times. That's my say.
Do you want to also talk to maybe Dumbledore about this? Because he probably made this so Gryffindor would win. Who knows? He probably changed it when Harry started.
Dumbledore's point system is all messed up.
What's the deal with?
Spoilers.
Maybe he has a disorder. You know how some people can't see, like, faces?
Maybe he just can't math.
He can't tell numbers.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins. Or you can follow us on Tumblr at PotterPod.
Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.